Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today I'm joined by Eric King, author of A Clean Hell, Anarchy and Abolition in America's Most Notorious Dungeon. Eric's writing dives deep into life and resistance within the U.S. prison system, and today we're going to be talking about something rarely discussed, and that is practicing witchcraft while incarcerated and what spirituality and magic can look like in some of the most restrictive environments. So, Eric, welcome to the show. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. My name is Eric. I was released from federal prison almost 2 years ago, and I practiced when I was allowed to and when I was able, Wiccan and other pagan-esque religions while inside, and I'm just happy to be here talking about them.
Great. Yeah. So I was telling Eric right before we got started that there is actually a portion of listeners who do come from the prison system who are able to access this show. I've just found out through the years that some prisons will allow tablets for their prisoners. And because this podcast is considered under the religious category, it's able to be accessed by those who are incarcerated. So I think there's actually a big portion of people who this conversation is really going to be very beneficial for. So I'm excited to be able to help that population. I think it's going to be really useful. But before we get into that, as I mentioned, you have a book, A Clean Hell. So can you tell us a little bit about this book and what inspired you to write it and just what it's about?
Yeah, A Clean Hell is based off my experiences of going to trial when you're already inside prison. And in federal trial, no one wins in the federal system. There's less than 1% of people win at federal trial. And so I counted on myself. I counted on my goddesses. And we ended up winning, which is just the rarest thing. And then on the back end of that, we got sent to the ADX Federal Supermax, which is equally as rare. There's only 300 people in there at any given time. And so what I found was these stories aren't represented in the media ever. Like, I can't find any books about winning a trial or going to trial. I can't find any books about the ADX. And so I wanted to tell not just my story, but what it looks like for the men inside and what they have to face, what they have to overcome, and what hopefully can be done to make the system a little more humane.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that. I know you talked about how you worked with your goddesses and why you were in there, but I guess what was your spiritual or magical background before incarceration? Did you already identify with this, or was this something that developed when you were inside?
Yeah, so I grew up a devout Irish Catholic. And after the church scandal happened with all the raping and molesting of children, I realized very quickly that maybe what I was worshiping wasn't what I thought it was. And so I moved on to energies, to where I could just focus on energies. What's around me? What can I connect with? What can I feel? What can I sense? Who can I send energy to? And from there, it just gradually evolved into a position to where I feel so close to my goddesses right now. I talk to them almost constantly, mostly just in gratitude for everything they do for me. But it's just developed into a really, really strong relationship that makes me feel both safe and loved.
So practicing witchcraft or anything pagan-esque in prison must have really come with some major challenges. I mean, what kind of restrictions did you face when you were trying to practice, if any?
Yeah. And in the federal system, we don't have tablets, by the way, and we don't have the people that come in and work with us. I would have loved that. But one of the big challenges is that there's another pagan religion that is based off white supremacy, and y'all often will have to share space or materials. And obviously our energies, our faiths, however you want to call it, do not subscribe to those politics or beliefs. So there is a delicate balancing of that act. And then the other one is that the chaplains in prison aren't always happy to serve people that aren't Christian. They don't want to give us our candles. They don't want to give us our plants, our essences, our the things that you make potions with. They don't like us having that. And so it's very delicate navigating that situation also. And a lot of times we have to file grievances against these people and try to force the prison to force them to allow us to practice our faith, because it can be just running up against the wall just to get some incense. So those are the main challenges, is white supremacists and guards.
Oh gosh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yes.
And I guess, like, in that vein, like, were you able to access like any materials at all while you were incarcerated?
Yeah. And so I was able to access lots of books, which is just really helpful. Cause that helps you just fine tune, right? Helps give you ideas, helps you find something that might click with you. I never looked at them as like instruction manuals, just ideas. And then we were able to get tarot cards. You had to order them. You had to pay for them yourself, but you could get them. And then we were able to get incense, candles. It's been so long since I was in, I forget what it's even called, where you grind up the flowers in the bowl.
Oh, like the mortar and pestle?
Yes, yes. So we were able to get that. And we were allowed two matches a day. And so we had to use those matches to light our candles, and then from there, light everything else that we needed. But when you've got it in your heart, like, you don't need everything. Like, that helps get you in the right mind space. But I always found that this is something that I can do on my own if necessary, but it definitely helps to have those things to help feel more powerful and more in tune with what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely an aspect of that, of when you're so limited on your resources, that you really can kind of just turn inside and figure out all the tools are within you. And I think that can transcend even people who are like just starting out, or people who might not be out with their practice. Maybe they live in a situation where they can't be out for whatever reason. So I think that's definitely like a valuable thing to keep in mind for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you adapt to what was available? Like, what did ritual or spell work look like you under these conditions?
It looks sometimes combative, even like amongst ourselves. There's like within prison, there's still a hierarchy, even in like egalitarian faiths, which is what I consider ours. And so there was navigating like who was apparently the leader, because they didn't like change. They didn't like new people. They didn't like it if you saw things just a little different. So you had to navigate the politics of it. And then there was the other prisoners who would come by and laugh. And that would make spells and things hard when you're in this great zone and you're chanting or singing or running in a circle, or holding hands. And then there's some jerk like knocking on the door just to mock you. So you have to really focus on keeping your headspace there. But I really enjoyed the chants. I really enjoyed the prayers. I really enjoyed the spells. We did things for healing. When my wife was going to have thyroid cancer, we did a really, really big blood spell to where we were able to cut ourselves just a little bit on the fingers and put blood on a photo of basically her thyroid, that area of the neck. And we were able to just beg for healing, implore our goddesses to look after her. And then we were able to take like pins and needles and poke that spot to tell that thyroid cancer to die. Like, you're going away. And when you do that with six or seven guys, you develop like a really strong bond with them, and it makes you feel really seen and really loved and protected. And that's what you want in those situations. That's when I feel I was most in tune with my energy, is when I knew that I was safe. And stuff like that, those are the beautiful moments that I remember the most. Us holding hands, us doing spells, chanting, finding our way, finding what works best. And like those bonding moments, those are the best experiences.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you were able to find a sense of community or like some mutual support while you were there, which is awesome. But I'm curious, while in a system like this, like, are people out with this sort of religion, or was it kind of like hush hush, and then you kind of found out through the grapevine that other people were practicing?
It's tricky, because these sort of faiths are seen as feminine. And, well, I mean, mine is, my goddesses are 100% feminine energy. But so because of everything feminine and male prison is looked down upon, it's considered like the worst crime. That's why gay dudes in prison have a hard time, because they're seen as acting like women act. And there, so you have to walk this fine line to where when you're not in your practice, you do everything you can to maintain the status quo. Like, you still have to fight. You still have to stand up for yourself. You still have to do all that stuff. And that helps keep the pressure off of you from other prisoners. So, but we didn't have to, the guys that I was with, because they were like, quote unquote, macho men, like man's mans. They were like, they were out of that closet. They were openly doing their thing. And it makes you feel powerful, because if you see these guys like not afraid, and they have your back, like your coven brothers will, they will fight for you, and they will stand up for you, and they will end conflict for you quickly. And I'm a tiny guy. So like one of my best friend that was in that group, and he's still a great friend today, Big J, he was 6'4", 280 pounds. And he would be doing tarot readings in the law library. He'd be doing his chants wherever he wanted, his prayers, his sigils, and no one's going to tell him no. And when I see him being so open about who he is, it gives me confidence to do the same. So like sometimes we would do like long fast and then do a feast at the end. And like, especially for certain holidays, like, you know, the holidays. And so,
Yeah, the way of the year.
But so we would do our big feast, and you're just in your unit with this mass amount of food, and you're just feeling free to be who you are at that exact moment. And it can be taken away at any time. But in those moments, you're proud to be out. You're proud to say, like, this is who I am. I'm not trash. I'm not white power. I'm not praying for violence. I'm building myself and building my community, and I can use that to make a change. And those moments feel really great to be out in the open.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that you had such a sense of community around you and that you felt so protected. I'm curious, like, how much your environment might have shaped or transformed your practice of the craft while you were in this system.
Yeah. And that's a really intuitive question. Thank you.
Of course.
The environment it's nasty. Your living conditions are horrible. The people around you are often people that suffer from mental illness or just were not shown or taught love when they were younger. So they only know violence. There are people that have been inside for decades, and that's their existence now. And then there's the guards who are just the same, like they get institutionalized as well. So you're dealing with violence, horrible food, horrible people, horrible living conditions. But then you have this little circle within yourself, this little ball of energy or power or light within you. And it shaped mine to where a lot of times I was just praying not to be seen. Like, just don't let my enemies see me today. Don't let the guards pay attention to me. A lot of times it was asking for safety when I knew something violent was going to happen. It was just telling my mother's like, you're all I've got to have my back. So please let me make it out of this day alive. And it develops like a real maternal bond to where you feel taken care of. And so like, because I couldn't always meditate or do my chants and stuff throughout the day, I would have to get up super early in the morning and do them at like 5:30 in the morning. And then you have to clean your cell and stuff like that, do all your stupid prison routines. But that taught me a lot. That taught me like what's important to me. What's more important, more sleep or more connection? And over time, like the mothering part stays, but it also develops like a kindredness to where you feel like we're in this together and you've got my back. I'm not a victim just waiting here. And it helps. It helps you get through your day. It helps you figure out when something bad is happening, where you can turn, and you can turn within yourself. You can turn within your, like the environment you've created as opposed to the one that's been forced upon you, if that makes sense. And yet it developed really hard that way, because I went through a lot of really hard times. Like these prisons I was at are just really brutal monstrosities. And my goddess is like, they eventually became like my best friends. And that was a beautiful thing that I'm not sure could have happened with all the distractions that exist in the free world. All the things that we have to like give our attention to that aren't the beautiful things that are more external, like consumerism or dramas or internet. So in a way, like I was kind of blessed to have an environment that forced me to turn inward as opposed to just hyper obsessing over nonsense.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back in just a moment. All right. And welcome back. Yeah. I mean, in a system built on like control and punishment, it seems like magic can help, you know, with survival, with connecting to the gods, with feeling this energy around you to keep you protected. Did you ever feel that magic could be used as like an act of rebellion in the system?
So I don't know if you're aware of this, but to end up at the prison I was at, the ADX, it takes a lot of rebellion. And I really tried to focus on building. And rebellion is often self-loathing. It's often, I'm getting hurt so bad by you that I am now going to try to hurt you. I'm going to transfer my pain and my hurt so that you can have it. You take it. And my wife, who really, really helped me with my faith, she pulled me out of that, because there was times where I was telling, or not telling, but one of my goddesses, no, like, this is about to be a war zone. Please give me whatever it takes not to die and whatever it takes to hurt these pieces of trash. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss or not.
Oh, you are.
Okay. So like these fucking shitheads, I was trying so hard to just transfer my hurt to them. And I realized, like, I don't know if everyone feels this way, but I do think often what you put out is what you get back. And when I was putting out rebellion, when I was putting out violence, that's what was returning to me. And once I caught on to that, that my energy was turning into something ugly to hurt people. And that's not how you grow. It's not how you develop. And it's not how you should exist. Like, you shouldn't exist within this dark space of constantly needing retribution and vengeance and rebellion. So that really helped me like to try to steer from that. But at the same time, like, I'm in prison. Like, there's times when you need to stand up for yourself to prisoners or guards. And in those moments, I never asked them to do something to the people that were trying to hurt me. I just always tried to focus on like, let me stay safe. Can I tell you about one instance where I did that?
Oh, of course.
So there was guards really, really, really treating my wife bad. Like, they weren't letting us talk on the phone. They weren't letting us have visits or emails. I was on 24-hour lockdown in those segregated housing units. And so I was so hurt. I was so angry that I did a spell where I called on the four corners and I took urine and I rubbed it all over the paper. And then I took, and this might sound disgusting, but you use what you have. I took a pen and dipped it in feces, in the poop, and rubbed that on the paper. And then I folded it up knowing that the guards had to open it. So I was asking my goddesses to please let that get to the guards and not get to my wife. Like, let this be a spell. Because if they had ignored that one letter, like that one time ever, all of a sudden my wife gets this horrible energy I'm sending out. But even that, like, that got me in so much trouble. I got almost prosecuted for assaulting staff for that. So that was a further like introduction into stop trying to send out hurt. Start trying to like protect yourself that way. But it worked. They were pissed. Like, that guard was so mad.
I mean, sometimes in witchcraft, you got to use what's around you. And witchcraft is not always a very clean and mess-free practice.
Thank you for letting me off the hook there.
Oh, I mean, it's true. You know, like, sometimes witchcraft, you got to get down and dirty.
And that's how I felt. Like, I didn't feel embarrassed. I didn't feel like my goddesses were ever not having my back. Like, they understood what time it was. And it felt really good, right? When that guard came running in, calling me like a piece of shit, all these homophobic slurs, it felt like I had won. Like, we had succeeded in the mission, which was to disrupt his day, to make him as angry as I am.
And it worked. Like, you succeeded.
Oh boy, did I.
So I want to mention or go back to your book. And so I know your book ties together these themes of anarchy and abolition and personal freedom. And how do you see witchcraft as a whole fitting into these ideas of like resistance and liberation?
Man, great questions. Golly. So my anarchism is like, obviously I don't I don't follow hierarchical structures. I don't believe that anyone should have authority or domination over anyone. And I don't feel like I should be above anyone either. Like there should be no one below me. And so where my anarchism used to be violence, like shooting and bombing and like all this destructive stuff to tear down the systems that I felt were hurting people, as I developed in my faith, I started viewing anarchism as more open arms, because my goddesses allowed me in. Like they blessed me in ways that I could write an entire book about myself, and I might. And because I am receiving blessing upon blessing, and you see that beyond the torture. Like in the book, you see pictures of me literally getting like put in a 4-point rack, like being tortured. And even with that, like I still saw that, like I still have it so much better. And so my goddesses aren't above me. Like they're not trying to boss me around and give me orders. Like they're riding beside me. And that is congruent with my anarchism, to where I'm now, like over the last several years, trying to build up safe areas, trying to build up people, trying to build the things that we need to make the government and all this repression obsolete. Like we will build the structures to where we no longer need yours. And once we have that energy within us, we can exist without you and without these lies and without this dark force you try to force on us. And so it is played hand in hand. It's helped me be a better person. It's helped me be a better comrade. It's helped me figure out ways to connect with people on a more deep interpersonal level. It's helped me be more vulnerable, because I Inanna and Sophia, those are the ones that protect me the most. And those are the ones I turn to. And if they are going to keep me safe, and they are going to listen when I'm afraid, listen when I'm hurt, listen when I'm happy, listen to my blessings, if they are going to give me that ear, then it would be selfish and cruel not to try to offer that to people who might not have it.
Right.
People who might be hurt or sad. So it has walked hand in hand in helping me develop into like a kinder, more loving anarchist.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. I do also want to ask too, like as we're getting towards the end, I want to shift the conversation to those who are currently incarcerated, especially those who might be listening that are like, oh my gosh, this is all about my experience yeah. right now. So I guess just kind of like an outer question. So what kind of repression do incarcerated witches or pagans face today that the public might not know about?
I don't know if the public understands what like discrimination looks like in terms of humiliation and in terms of like withdrawn resources. People in prison will face humiliation from the chaplain. They'll be diminished. They will be told that they're not good enough, that their faith is a joke. And when this is something you've dedicated your life to, which many of us have, that can feel like a real slap in the face. It can feel like you're being called trash. When you're constantly being told that you are allowed these objects, you're allowed a candle, you're allowed a wick, and then they take it from you or say like, no, you don't get it. There's a wild feeling of injustice. Like that is cruelty. Withholding is cruelty. The same way the government's with like withholding food, like withholding housing. It's that on a micro, more personal level. And there's also retaliation from people that will see you as weak. I kind of spoke on that earlier about the Viking guys who I just worship in this world of violence and domination. They're the exact opposite of you. And opposites don't attract in prison. They butt heads. And so it's this congruency of violence potentially coming your way, humiliation being thrown your way, resources being denied to you, space being denied to you. You're not always given your chapel space and your chapel time. If you're locked down, you're not going to church. If you're in trouble, you're not going. If they've got better things to do or the chaplain's sick, he's not opening that door, or she or they. And so it's just a constant battle to get what will make you feel most safe and most connected. And I would just ask people like to imagine if they had a computer and they knew they were going to have their computer in the morning and someone took it, and you asked for it back and you saw it and they just said no, and you couldn't force them to give it back to you. You couldn't call the cops. You couldn't beat them up. All of a sudden this thing that you depend on is within your grasp and it's taken from you, and then they mock you for it. That's what it feels like in prison on a daily basis. And that hurts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That sounds really rough. Do you have like any advice or like any words you'd want to share with people who are listening who are incarcerated to give them any like suggestions or support or word of wisdom?
Yeah. I don't want to say words of wisdom because like I don't have anything they might not have. But I will say that like I love you. I see you. Your gods, your goddesses, your energies, your winds, your fires, your waters, your airs, your earths. These things feel you and they're still there. They don't leave just because that concrete is surrounding you. That concrete came from earth too. That water in your sink is the same water that the dinosaurs drank. That wind that you might feel if you're walking outside is the same wind that all the free people world or free world people feel too. You're not less than. Your faith isn't less powerful. Your words aren't less meaningful. Your hurts aren't less felt or less deserving. You are loved. I love you. I see you. And I pray that every single day that you are inside or outside, you feel as much joy and as much love as possible.
Oh, I think that can apply to almost anyone hearing that too, especially those who may be facing any sort of systems of oppression or isolation, even in their own lives, prison system or not.
Yeah.
No, I think those are great words. So how are some ways that people on the outside can support incarcerated pagans or spiritual practitioners?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. Find ways to figure out how to write prisoners. There are groups like local areas that will do like books through bars. They will do letter writing nights. They will do different like abolition groups or DOC watches to where people are keeping eyes on prisoners. And that is a good way to figure out or find people that you might share a faith with. Lots of Wiccans and pagans inside are queer. So you can look at places like Black and Pink. And once you find people inside, advocate for them. Write them letters. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Ask them what they need you to do. Try to connect with them on both a spiritual and human level so that you can develop strong relationships. And then the power on the outside becomes the power on the inside and vice versa. And now you're a strong force and now you can make change. Send books, send help. Force that prison to listen to you that these people deserve more. And no matter how much they're getting, they deserve more. Advocacy, eyes on the prison that our faith is on equal grounds and should be respected just as much as the Protestants or Catholics or any other faith. Like we're not below them and we deserve and will get eventually the same access to rituals that they get if we keep fighting for it.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that, that there no religion is above any other religion, and being looked down upon or being treated differently because of your religion, regardless of any sort of system that you're living in, is completely unacceptable. So I'm sorry you had to go through that. And I hope those who are listening are able to advocate for themselves successfully to get the materials that their religion needs and that they are entitled to.
Yeah. Do what you can.
Yeah. I will say for anybody listening who is incarcerated or interested in this topic, I do have an episode that came out in May 2024 called Prison and Paganism, and where I do talk with some pagan prison ministers. I mentioned that at the beginning of the episode, but that's just the title of it. If anybody's interested and wants to listen to that, there is a episode in this topic.
Yay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Eric, what do you hope that witches or listeners can take away from this? Like, what's next for you? What's next for your projects, for your practice? What does it look like?
I hope that they take from this my book.
Yes, A Clean Hell.
On pmpress.org.
Yes. And I will have a link to that in the episode description too.
Oh, thank you. That's dope. Shout out Joey and Courtney for helping me make a book. I hope that people take from this empathy, that there is empathy to be had with even those who have hurt others or been hurt themselves, that it shouldn't stop at our doors, our own personal like hurtings or sufferings. I hope people take from this that people inside are humans. They are your grandfather, your brother, your mother, your god, your godmother, your aunt. These are people that have hopes and dreams and loves and fears and insecurities. And they are people that need support the same way you would. So I just pray and hope that people take from this that it is worth the time to connect with someone inside. My wife wrote me when I was inside. It was through prison support that we met. We've been together 11 years. people inside can help you too. We can be rewarding to your lives too. And I just implore those who are listening, if you're going to take one thing, it's that you have a love and a life that can make someone's life so much better. And it's always better to share our energy than hoard it.
Well, speaking of communication, how could the listeners get in contact with you if they want to reach out?
Yeah, so I mostly am on Reddit and Instagram. My Instagram is Support Eric King. It was made when I was inside. And so I just kept it because that always made me feel safe. And you can send me messages. We can talk about anything. If you need help finding prisoners, if you need someone just to talk to, I'm open ears. Like, I'm blessed and I want to share whatever I have with whoever needs it. On Reddit, it's just EK Searsha, Freedom in Irish. And you'll see all my prison stuff and all my shoe collections. So those would be ways to reach out, or through PM Press. Like, we're all here together.
Awesome. I will probably ask you to shoot me how to spell the Reddit name to make sure I put it correctly in the episode description. Awesome. Well, for those who are listening, who want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft or at Spells and Kettlebells. You can also find me on Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. Or if you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. All of that said, Eric, thank you so much for coming on. This has been such an interesting topic, and getting to hear like your unique story and about your book and about your experiences. I know that this will definitely be impactful for some of the listeners. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah, I appreciate a lot. This is an opportunity that everyone gets. So being able to have it just feels like just a real hug, just a real nice thing.
Well, I'm glad. Well, thank you again for coming on. And thank you to all the listeners for listening. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey. Bye.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.